Warning, the following episode of Warcedi's Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of AJ Warcedi and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Warcedi here to bring on to all of you, bequeathing of course, episode 124. So much to talk about, I have been cursed out on my DMs, we're going to talk about that. AEW extends his contract with TNT and gains a new voice, the Time Splitters! In an NXT ring, we celebrate the passing of one of wrestling's beloved heroes from back in the day, and of course, that's right folks, a women's world heavyweight champion. Much to discuss here at episode 124.
Welcome to Warcedi's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Warcedi.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your castle brother from another mother. This is your host of Warcedi's Uncensored Mind. I am AJ Warcedi. Off is off. Go off. Turn off intro music. How the hell is everybody out there for realsies, though? I'm asking for realsies. This is episode 124, of which I am bequeathing on to all of you here this early evening here. I am recording this Thursday. I think that's today. Is it Thursday? Because I ain't gonna be here this weekend, baby. The Orsinis are going to be on the road, baby. That's right. We're heading over to that new Nickelodeon place over in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Not just for a day, but for the weekend. Because when we ball, baby, we ball out. So I ain't going to be here this weekend. And believe me, plenty has happened in the world of professional wrestling where I don't have to fucking wait until Friday or Saturday morning to do this shit. We can do this shit right here and right fucking now. There's so much to discuss, so much to get into. I have been cursed out three ways from Sunday today. We're going to get into some of that. We've got a Women's World Champion. I mentioned all that stuff at the top of the hour, but I want to send everybody right here off the gun, right here at the beginning of the show, next week, January 24th, episode 125. I didn't plan it that way, but that is kind of funny that it is episode 125. We live, baby! We're going to be live on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page, which is where you can check us out, between the hours of 7 and 9 p.m. We will be live, and we will be doing our annual Royal Rumble Roundtable discussion, and for the first time, it will be live episode. You will be able to call in and join all of the action. You're probably sitting there asking, oh, how do I voice my opinions on your show next week? That's a very simple and easy answer for you. There's two ways to do that. We're going to be live on the Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page, which means, as most of you know, if you've listened to the show before and listened to my live episodes, we have a Facebook chat. You'll be able to go into the video. There'll be a live chat box that I will be viewing throughout the course of the show, live, minute to minute, because I am an excellent multitasker. I can listen to my guests, formulate my questions, keep in line with the producer as far as live calls go, and still listen to the Facebook chat. How can I do all that? Because I'm fucking amazing at what I do. That's how I can do all that. Speak of the devil, speak of which, there is another way to contact the show and give me your opinions on everything that we're discussing. 609-910-0687. That is the phone number you can call in next week, live, Friday, January 24th, between 7 and 9. Call in, and you can curse me out on the phone, too, I guess, since everybody's cursing me out. That's the new trend now, cursing O out over some opinions. So you can do that next week, and you can go on the air and vent all that out. Now, TLC, Survivor Series, all main evented by women. We've got a new women's world champion. Women right now are ruling the roost. They're ruling the wrestling world. So I decided to follow the trend, jump on the train of success. This Royal Rumble discussion will be the first time that I've done a live episode with all women panel, all women discussion. It's going to be me and three other women. A fantasy come true, only in a much more professional manager. Much more professional situation. We're all going to sit here and we're going to discuss Royal Rumble, and it's going to be fantastic. We're going to talk Royal Rumble memories, Royal Rumble, some of our favorite more Royal Rumble moments throughout the entire history of Royal Rumble, which has been around for 30 plus years. And of course, we're going to be breaking down the upcoming pay-per-view with you guys, hopefully, if you call in and join the Facebook chat. So that's next Friday, January 24th. Live on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page. That's where you can listen to that. While you're listening, if you're trying to decide on what to wear whilst you're listening, I've gone through that before. I've always tried to pick my outfits as selectively as I can, and I know you guys go through the same deal. If you're looking for the proper wrestling tee to watch, or should I say listen this time around, because last time I was live, it was video, it was YouTube. But this time is listen. So if you want to find the proper attire in which to listen to this show, I've got you covered. We've got a week left. You've got plenty of time to order and to have it shipped out to you. The official Orsini's Uncensored Mind gray tee. It's beautiful. It's sexy. It's sleek. It makes you look slimmer. If you are very slender as it is, it puffs you up, makes you look a little bigger. This shirt can do it all. All you need to do to get your hands on this beautiful, one-of-a-kind t-shirt just to help support the show. I got a lot of things I'm doing also with my hands as I'm talking, so if I get sidetracked, excuse me. There's a lot of stuff going on right here in the House of O. We're moving around. If you want to get your hands on this sexy tee, www.prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM is the place to go. There's been a few people who have purchased recently and as early as yesterday. I want to send some shout-outs to those folks. I don't have the names right in front of me at the moment, but definitely on the live show, I'll shout you guys out and thank you guys for your purchases and supporting the show in the way that you have. So I'm plugging the tee. I'm plugging the live show. I'm getting everything done here, but I got to be honest with you, I got shit on my mind, baby. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's get to it. Obviously, the main event of this episode, I'll tell you right now, it's gonna be that Tessa Blanchard situation. It's gonna be the world title, and I'm gonna get to all that in the main event. We're gonna build, baby. We're gonna build to all that. But I'm gonna start off with my rant. I already prefaced it on social media. I said there's an oncoming rant coming, and this is gonna be it. Okay, I can't hold this shit any longer, or hold this shit in. Pause on what I just said a second ago. I can't hold this shit in any longer. Two different wrestling situations occurred in my direct messages and Facebook. Two completely different wrestling situations, and I was cursed out by both and blocked by both. And that's absolutely fine. I've got no problem with it. I got no real heat over it. If I were to see them today, I'd probably shake their hands and go about my business. But I'm not really that stressed about it, because the two individuals in question have proven to me now I won't be seeing them in the future, so it doesn't really matter. These aren't two people who will have very long and budding careers in the wrestling business. And it's a shame that so many people come through and have their fandom ruined by the reality of what this business really is. So I wanted to start off by, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to give their names. A couple of people asked me, oh, I can't wait for you to burn them on the show. I'm not going to say their names for two reasons. A, I don't feel like it, and B, I don't see the point in it, because they're not going to be around that fucking long. So there's no sense in me giving him any publicity. So I will bring up the two situations that were discussed in my DMs and why I was cursed out, because I think this is very, very important. Not just about me the person or me the professional, but I think as an overall industry problem as a whole. Item number one. There's two items. Item number one. Got a message actually yesterday from a gentleman who is not a wrestler, is contemplating joining a school, has done some tryout stuff with certain schools to just kind of get a feel for things. And normally when I visit schools or talk to students, one of the biggest things that I always tell them is to think outside the wrestling moves. You know, once you, when you're in school and you're wrestling, obviously you concentrate on the physical stuff because, you know, that's the time. You know, when you work on your fundamentals, you work on your basics. That's strong. You need that strong. So when you're new to the game, that's where your focus should be. But over time, you know, year, 2 years in, gotta start thinking about outside the ring. You gotta start thinking about outside the wrestling moves. We're talking gimmick, we're talking character, we're talking theme. Not music theme, but just overall theme of what you're gonna look like. You gotta start thinking about the whole package. And there was a gentleman who has been training slightly less than 2 years, just shy of the 2 year mark. And he messaged me because he was given my name. He's training at a school that I won't name, and he was coming up with a gimmick idea, and someone had mentioned to him, hey, you know who's really good with this stuff? It's Orsini. You should probably hit him up. So he did that. He hit me up, asked if it was okay if he pitched a gimmick to me after some small talk. I said, sure, shoot, what you got? And he proceeded to write this diatribe, this long-ass fucking paragraph of shit. And I got to give it to him. He was very detailed. Not just the look, but the atmosphere of the basic gist of the character and how it would be used long term and all the different ideas. So here's a short version of the pitch, okay? In his own words, it was a character that is like a homeless bum. This was the actual character. Now normally when I do stories like this on my show, it's meant to be funny. I'm not actually trying to be funny. This is the pitch, okay? This character is like a homeless bum. I mean, fingerless gloves, blanket, disheveled hair, slightly adjacent Scully to the side. I mean, he painted this fucking picture. Tattered clothing, the whole deal, right? Possibly not even wearing deodorant that day, so you can come with a little bit of a must to it. Add up a piece of realism, I guess. This was all stuff that was pitched. Dan proceeded to explain that the whole point of the character would be like kind of an underdog character, which made me chuckle. I said, okay, a homeless guy is kind of an underdog. You're right about that. That's a very natural position. Throughout the course of the matches, you know, I would be walking through the audience asking for change. There was a pitch where he would be lying on a few seats, like on a train, like sleep, just playing the whole gimmick up. This guy was going to be the whole gimmick all night. Essentially, is what this was. And then right around the time where he's getting ready for his match, he would somehow find his way ringside and walking around looking aloof, and people would try and correct him where he's going, and then he'd wind up in the ring, and then the guy would run spots and all this other shit, and he would eventually pin the guy or be pinned by the guy, and then he would powder at him, just walk around and act like nothing happened and do the whole... It was a long fucking thing. And the more he spoke, the more I realized there were a lot of similarities to the Orange Cassidy deal, where it was just very nonchalant, and this is just the way in his wording, where he would, even down to the point of, like, getting beat by a finish, right, but then just kind of, like, no-selling it to a degree, where it's like, you know, just kind of killing the move and just walking out or whatever. Everything that he was saying or typing, I'm assuming he was either reading out loud or thinking super hard. Let's just say for the record, everything he typed, he said. Everything he said was fucking dumb. I mean, I get it. It was a little out of the box. Fine. But it was just it's a stupid idea. It's just dumb. I didn't like the fucking idea. For multiple reasons. A, there's no long-term plan for that. You can't just be wandering aimlessly around the fucking show asking for change. And it just... People, first of all, don't even like that. They don't like homeless people walking up to them asking them for change. It turns them off. They don't want to be around. I don't know about underdog babyface at this point. It's just going to, like especially the, I'm going to be laying on chairs like I'm asleep. I mean, like I'm asleep. Like, how long are you going to be laying on this fucking seat? Like, for real. Like, you're going to be making people feel uncomfortable. And then you're going to get in the ring and you're going to run spots. Like a hobo would run spots with a person. I don't know. It just, all of it just didn't make any. It was, the guy pitched a fucking a hobo gimmick. A homeless man gimmick. And even in my head, I was like, as a promoter, as a booker, I'm thinking in my head, like, all right, before I say anything, like, because normally when I give criticism, and I'm not afraid to give criticism, I try to have like another side to it. What if you tried this? Or what if we did this? Or what if we incorporated this? So I tried. so hard. He sent me this message yesterday, and I literally, like, I'm not going to say I slept on it. It didn't engulf my entire night. But at the same time, like, periodically I would think about it. I was like, how the fuck can this work? Like, I was trying all these different ideas in my head. And then I honestly woke up this morning and kind of forgot about it. And then he messaged me throughout the course of the day, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I just told him straight out. I was like, I don't think this is a good idea. And he's like, why? And I told him everything I just told you now, and all of this stuff. And he would disagree. No, I'm just, watch, listen. And then he would fire back. And I don't know if I guess it's just me. Like, I don't have time to sugarcoat things for people, especially when it comes to criticism. I don't like sugarcoating, so I don't sugarcoat. You know, I'm the same person that I went to the doctor, 2 months ago to tell him that I had an issue with my snoring, and my doctor looked me in the face and said, because you're fat. Like, that was his diagnosis, because you're fat. And that diagnosis worked for me. I've been on a diet ever since. I've dropped some LBs here, which I'm going to update you guys on. Once I hit target weight, I'll update you guys on that. But I like straightforward, so I'm always straightforward with people. So the first time around, I just told him straight, I didn't think it was a good idea, there's different cons to this, and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no. And he kept, but every time I gave him a criticism, he had a fucking response for it. And when you have someone like that, and you realize talking to him, there's no way you're going to fucking get through this person. They're just convinced that this is going to work. Then why did you even come to me? Because I'm trying to give you the criticism, right? Nice criticism. I'm trying to, this isn't going to work. I think it won't work, and this is why I think that. And I didn't even get into the other side of it. I didn't get into the, well, why don't we try this? Because for every criticism, he had a fucking response. So at one point, I forgot what it was, and I responded with, this is just goofy shit. And I guess that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm a fucking asshole now. I came to you for this and blah, blah, blah. You came to me for me to go, yeah, kid, that's a good fucking idea. You should roll with that. And I guess as a person who takes bookings and has a client and has people that, you know, wrestles all around as many towns as they can fucking get to, when you see an idiot like that come up, sure, why not? Let them throw a grenade at their own feet and let them hang themselves. It gives us more money, right? But that's not me. Like, even if we're competing for the same spot, I still want you to do well. I don't ever want anybody in this industry to do bad. So I told the guy straight out. I was like, I didn't even get a chance to tell you anything counter. I learned right when I said goofy shit and he reacted the way that he reacted. I learned right away. It was never about critiquing. It was never about improving. It was never about making better. It was, all this was about was he had an idea in his head and he was looking for someone of my particular stature or greater than to okay it and to look at him and say, wow, you're a fucking genius, you're smart, you're gonna fucking do well in this industry. And when it didn't come out like that right away, he tried to convince me that it was a good idea, and it wasn't. And once he became secure in the idea that I thought it was shit, that's when the defense mechanism came up, and fucking forget it, right? A whole spiel, and then a block. Boom. Okay, whatever. Fuck it. Simultaneous to this conversation, I'm having another one about another situation where the guy is already a wrestler. He's been wrestling for a while now, and he sent me a match. Now, every time I tell people this all the time. If you send me a match, chances are I'm going to give you criticism on the match and I'm going to give you compliments on the match. Unless your match is the complete shits and balls just to the max, there's going to be some good in there and I'll be able to give you some good feedback. But more often than not, even if your match was fucking 5 stars, I'll find a flaw. Okay? I just will. So then I give you that, and you work with it. You do what you will with the information. This gentleman sent me a match, asked me the same thing. All right, real criticism, tell me what you think. 13-minute match. I got 5 minutes through, and I turned it the fuck off because it was very clear and apparent this person had never been trained. And if they were trained, they got robbed of their money because none of it was right. Footwork wasn't in the right place. Can't run ropes. Can't do it. You're doing moves. But it just looked, it was yarder, it was bad, it was just bad. And it sucks because upon appearance, if you just looked, he looks like a fucking professional wrestler. Good build, good look, Gear was on point. You could tell he spent money on the gear. Everything looked great. Package was good. Wrestling, this was not professional wrestling. I don't know what it was. It was the weirdest fucking thing. So I left it alone for a while. I actually saw this video. I must have saw this video not a week. That's too far away. Maybe, what are we in, Thursday? Maybe over last weekend I saw the video. 5 minutes and click. I turned it right off because I don't need to see anymore. I don't need to see the full 13 minutes to realize this guy just didn't know what he was doing. You know, he carried himself like someone who knew, but he didn't really know. So I saw it probably over the whole over the last weekend, and I never mentioned it. And like today was the day he got back to me and asked me. And again, same scenario. Here's the criticism, and I can't even get into the compliments because he's so pissy about the criticism. Well, were you trained? What do you mean, was I trained? Of course I was trained. I was trained by this person. Well, who the fuck is this person? Where did you train at? New Jersey. Okay, well, there's no real training facilities in New Jersey with the exception of a handful, and I know all the trainers from those schools, and I can promise you, you didn't go to any of them because the people that I know in Jersey would not have fucking trained you to do that. So either you're full of shit or you got robbed. It's one or the other because they didn't train you right. And I told him, I said, this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good here. At one point, he tried to shoot the half, which if you don't know what that is, it's basically you slide the arm underneath the armpit and flip over for a pin. You just roll them over. But it's supposed to be a swift motion, slide up, under, come, and then lateral press. And he did a shoot the half like a minute or two. It was like a shoulder tackle. The guy takes the bump. He went for a submission, so he drops down, rolls the guy over, and tries to put him into a submission. I don't even know what the submission was. And when the guy kept fighting or whatever, he shot the half, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing? At first, it looked like they were getting ready to chain wrestle, because it was like shoulder tackle, submit. He did a drop, going for a submission. This guy fucking fights out. Okay, shoots the half, pin, 1-2, boom. I said, okay, we're going to do some chain wrestling. And then they got up, and no ropes. They just got up, and dude just went for hip. It was the weirdest thing. It looked like, because one of the biggest rules in professional wrestling when you're learning how to wrestle is everything has to be in the middle of the ring, or at least as in the middle as you possibly can be. And it looks like this is something they took extremely close to heart, because literally everything was inside this ring. And they weren't even chain wrestling with it, which is what made it even fucking weirder. This whole match was just weird. I turned it off. Because none of it made any sense. So I got into the criticisms of it, and didn't even get to the other stuff. Because I was an asshole. I was a jealous hater, actually. Is what I was referred to toward the end. A jealous hater. And he's kind of right, because the gear was on point. You know, I did love his outfit. Again, pause for that. But I did love his outfit. But yeah, so I got cursed out for that. If you're not going to let me even get to the compliments, because they want the compliments first. That's the deal. That's my thing. If you can sit through the criticisms, I'll give you the compliments. If you can't get through the criticisms, there's no need for the compliments. Because that means that you came to me for the compliment. And I'm not just going to give you compliment. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, no. I'm not just going to sit there and just do that. That's just dumb. So that's why the first time I think I got blocked because of goofy shit. The second time I think was the fact that I was questioning his training. Because he never got off that. Even when I tried to switch it to talk about the actual match, the match itself. He couldn't get off of it. He couldn't get off of it. It was fucking with him that I would even bother, that I'd have the guts to question that. But anywho, yeah. So that's how all that shit went down. And like I said, I know for a fact those guys are just not going to fucking go anywhere or do anything, because if you can't take criticism from one guy you don't know that well, you're going to crumble in a house full of hundreds or possible thousands. It's just not going to work out for you, so I wish him the best of luck, but it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. Which brings me to a larger point when it comes to myself. Don't send me... I've said it before on this show. I've said it on social media. Do you want a real opinion or do you want a blowjob? Because I don't give blowjobs. I receive blowjobs. I do not give blowjobs. If you're hitting me up for me to blow you, I'm not going to do that. Okay? Even if I think what I'm watching is 5 stars fucking awesome, I will find something. Because that's my job, to make you better. Don't come to me looking for a pat on the back. You may get that pat on the back, but you're going to have to travel through glass and shit before that happens. Okay? I don't do that. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not just going to compliment you for the shits and giggles of complimenting you. Earn it. I try to earn my congratulations and my criticisms and my compliments every day. I expect the same from you. And that's it. That's all that I have to say about that. Okay? That's all done and away with. Now that's a warning label for everybody. Do not message me if you've got a problem with certain things that I say or certain things that I do. Don't hit me up and look to me and want me to fall in line with the default bullshit, because I don't do it. I don't do it, okay? Now, we have other things that we have to discuss here on the wrestling show, but I'm going to slip in for the commercial. I already had it set up queued for another time, but I'd rather get these commercials out of the way now, to be honest with you. So we're going to go ahead and play that in just a second. Hey guys, you've heard me go live for my 100th episode, my 1 year anniversary, and of course, the infamous WrestleMania Roundtable. Well, January 24th, right around the corner, we are live yet again, and yes, another roundtable, but this time, it's that time of year. It is the Royal Rumble, and this is our annual Royal Rumble Roundtable discussion. We will be going live. That's right, we will be going live on our CD's Uncensored Minds official Facebook page, January 24th, between 7 and 9 p.m. It's a real simple thing. All you need to do to join in on the conversation, join the roundtable yourself, is either enter in the Facebook chat or call in. That's right, get your voice heard by calling 609-910-0687. That is January 24th, 7 p.m. I cannot wait to hear you guys on that one. AJ Orsini here, and I am the host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind every Saturday night, 9 p.m., and I gotta tell you, when I first started this podcast way back when, I didn't know where it would go. I didn't know where this would take me, but I am proud to tell you that this has been a committed weekly episodic podcast for the last 2 years and running. It's been downloaded in over 30 countries with several thousand downloads to its name. All people need to do is head over to ajoum.podbean.com and they are blasted with some audio pro wrestling goodness. Now, I have had great experiences in the past with sponsors, and I will look for more. As a matter of fact, I could be looking for you. So if you would like to get your business information out there to the masses, to the fans, to the squad of O, all you need to do is send me an email over to ajorsini96host@gmail.com. We are ready to do business. All Elite Wrestling has added a new voice to the announce table, and I gotta tell you, this spells trouble for All Elite Wrestling. Trouble in a good way when you really think about it. When you really think about it, it's trouble in a good way. And the reason I mean that, for those of you who don't know, Taz, the human suplex machine, is back in the pro wrestling game. That's right, he has signed a deal with All Elite Wrestling. They have made it official on all of their social media platforms, because in AEW, if they don't put that that picture out with the All Elite, does it really matter? Does it really count? If they don't have the picture up or do a Instagram live video or whatever the fuck they do for their little announcements, if they don't do that, does it really count? Are you really in? Well, they did with Taz. Taz is now officially AEW, and this spells trouble for someone like Excalibur. And I want to be clear about something. I myself spent many years being a play-by-play announcer. I hate 3-man teams. I don't like working in it. I don't like listening to it. I think it's a clusterfuck every single time. Even when I listen to like someone like NXT with Mauro and Beth and Nigel, it's too fucking much. They're on top of each other. I could literally hear the hands go up to stop a person from talking so that they can make finish their point. It's just too much. I'm not a fan. I don't like the fact that every fucking Fed has three-man teams. I hate it even less. Even more when an indie company has a three-man team. There is no fucking need for three dorks who sound exactly the same to be calling the fucking action all at the same fucking time. It's too much. It's a clusterfuck every time. Having said that, I think All Elite will still have a three-man team. Question is now, who should be on the team? So here's the deal. Tony Schiavone does not need to be on the announce team. He has talents beyond that. He can do other things. He could be their mean gene, their interviewer, host a little shows. He has a role. So that moves him out. He doesn't need to be on there, but if they do like a little, like what WCW did with TNA every now and then, bring on a different third guy. They want to add a little something different to the program. That's one thing. Excalibur, they seem to be married to Excalibur as a commentator on a national level. And while I think he's good, and there's a number of people that think he's good, I have heard the complete opposite from a lot of people who don't follow indie wrestling, who don't really, I can call them casuals, I guess, in and out fans. They don't like him. They don't like the mask. They don't like the ridiculousness of him sitting next to Ross in it. They're not fans. Taz is a really, really, really good ring announcer, color commentator. Really, really good. And the funny thing is AEW hasn't really had a play-by-play color vibe. And I think it's because of the three-man team. JR is a play-by-play man. But to be honest with you, he's kind of useless to him because he doesn't know all the moves these guys are fucking doing, and he doesn't know a lot of the guys. Excalibur knows all the guys. Excalibur knows all the moves, but he's extremely inexperienced on the national level of calling it. Taz is somewhere in the middle. I'm sure Taz knows a lot about the moves, but doesn't know a lot about the guys. Recently, I think it was through, was it Dark? I'm not entirely sure. Taz did some stuff for AEW. I didn't realize that it was a tryout. Like, not just try out, like, can Taz still do it, but try out in the sense of, does Taz want to do it? Does he want to do it with AEW? Taz did some commentating for them recently, and it turned into a contract, but leading up to it, you can hear Jim Ross and Taz have a partnership. They're gelled. They get this. They have the timing down. You understand? There is something about having years together on a big stage where you're, you know, learning on the job together, you just felt like Taz and JR were on the same page. And then there was another guy there, all right, third wheel in it. And I don't think it's fair to Excalibur that he be put in this position, and the position being, he's kind of the odd man out on this. The other two guys, even Schiavone and Ross to a degree, even though they haven't called each other for years, it always felt like Excalibur was just some guy that was just there. And he's more talented than that. He's not obviously just some guy. This guy can call matches. He's just so inexperienced on the big stage, including all of the commercials and the segues and the breaks and the timing and the content, because there's been a few times where he's divulged into his indie oversell, and then when called out to provide more in-depth content on that oversell, has failed. There's been a few times where that's happened. I illustrated one on the show not too long ago when he did it with Amy Sakura, the legendary Amy Sakura, and then Jim Ross. Or what makes her so legendary? Yeah, exactly. You're extrapolating an adjective on this character that doesn't need to be there. You can put her over in other ways. You don't need to make it seem like she's been great for forever when she really, really hasn't. There's been examples of that throughout the way. There's also been some negatives going the other way. Jim Ross kind of laughing through certain things. Not laughing, ha ha ha, but you can kind of hear in his tone sometimes when he's being a little tongue-in-cheek with certain things, especially the Orange Cassidy stuff. The Orange Cassidy stuff has to drive a rusty nail through his fucking brain every time he fucking sees it. He's got to call it, but it's got to drive him fucking nuts every single fucking time he sees it. Drives him nuts. With Taz on board, this could cause a problem. If they wanted to go two-man, they totally could. But then that leaves Excalibur out, and to be honest with you, I don't know what he does. You can't demote him down to AEW Dark. He won't be taken seriously. It will seem like a demotion, and it will seem like they're kicking him in the nuts. So they're kind of putting themselves over a hump here. And then the other side of it is, well, you could always just leave him as a three-man as it is. But that chemistry is such an issue. Hopefully, over time, they can all gel together as a team. But for the short term, it's going to be a lopsided commentary table. It just is. I don't recall Taz feeding to Excalibur that much during the broadcast. Maybe that'll change over time. Now that he's contracted and he's in, we will see about that. But other than that, this is going to be a weird time. Really, for Excalibur, either he's going to have to learn as fast as humanly possible, or he's going to get left out there to sink. And I don't know. That's going to be a tough situation. I've defended him. You know, the golden boys of the world and the Marvezes and all that stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of those guys, but I have been defending Excalibur. So hopefully he'll get a chance to really gel with these guys and it'll be a much better situation for him. Other news, not just Taz, but his good buddy, his former ECW alum here, Rob Van Dam. He's living the life. He's got two women all over him all the time, kissing on him, trying to get him to pull out that Rob Van Dick, apparently. I saw the clip. Pretty cool shit. Gotta be honest with you. No disrespect to his girls here. I mean, it's gotta smell like somebody storing gallons of milk in there, right? All the plastic that's in there. Again, no disrespect, but I mean, my God in heaven. That's one of the first. I've heard the name Katie Forbes. Never really got a chance to, you know, see it in person. And I was just like, oh, okay. You know, I get nervous when my wife puts on lipstick. Like, I like my women as natural as possible, is what I'm trying to get at. Okay? I start getting nervous when she puts on lipstick. What Katie's got going on is something else. It's different. And it's got Rob happy. Rob's living that life. But anyway, for those of you who don't know, they had a very raunchy three-way segment. And it was so raunchy, in fact, that Impact pretty much got kicked off of Twitch for it. And that's got to hurt. It's got to sting. Especially considering the big news that happened recently with Impact Wrestling. And we'll get into that a little later on. But when you lose, you're not, you know, Impact's not really in a position to be, you know, losing any providers or service providers or promotions or sponsors. They're not really in a position to lose any of that. So for something like that to happen, for it to be against terms and conditions of Twitch, that's pretty painful. I think Impact has the funds and the connections to eventually work something out and get back on. But I'm going to be honest with you. I actually dig the segment. I dug it. I love the fact that Rob's trying to reinvent himself as well. That's pretty cool. He's been ECW's RVD for a long fucking time. And it's worked, so there wasn't really much of a need to change anything. But it is nice to see that he's thinking outside of the box. He's doing some other things, so that's pretty cool. And again, you know, he's got the lady factor going on here. He's living that life, you know? He's got many Rob Van Dick options of where he can put his stuff at. You know, he's living that life, man. He really is. 420 all the time. And then this stuff with the chicks, man. I really dig it. I'm really onto it. But I thought that them getting kicked off of Twitch is, I'm not going to say hilarious, but That's pretty funny. Because at least this time around, I know it wasn't something that Impact did that was just dumb. They didn't really do anything dumb. They just, I mean, if you want to consider them airing that without first checking with their providers as to whether or not they could, that's a different story. That's business related. That's different. But on a creative level, they didn't really do anything wrong. They're trying to think outside the box, so I'm with it. Not a big deal at all. One other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to our main event here, the Time Splitters. Now, I mentioned this on my social media. I am a big, huge Alex Shelley fan. Have been for a long fucking time. I mean pre-paparazzi Shelley. We're going Generation Next Shelley. I have been a fan of Alex Shelley for so long. As a matter of fact, I have yet to have a chance to work with him, which is fucking a crime. Also, side note, very close to booking them. We had a show, I think I mentioned this in Texas before, where I wanted to get I was trying to get a friend of mine booked against Liger in Texas. Another matchup that I had on the docket was a young EYFBO, pre-LAX and pre-Pride and Powerful, and my goal was to get them into the ring with the Guns, and I came awfully close, but we did not get the chance. They have since wrestled them, so that match is no longer on the table of dream match. It's occurred. It's a reality now, but that was something that I came awfully close to, and that's one of those situations. Didn't have the money at the time that I needed it. So, I've been a fan of actually for a long time. I've actually had him in my top 10 for, as an individual. Forget team, because he's higher up on my list as a team. The Guns are one of my favorite tag teams of all time. I will debate anybody that the Guns are one of the greatest tag teams of all time, in my opinion. And I know that they didn't get around, they didn't last for very long, but that's cool. They were well-traveled all around the world, tag titles all around the world, competed against some of the best teams. They're in the conversation. They just didn't last long. That's all it is. Injuries, politics, just bullshit behind the scenes, whatever have you. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I finally got to see Alex Shelley in a WWE ring. I never thought I'd see the day. I don't know why, because I said on social media I can make an argument he should have been signed before a lot of those guys did. A lot of indie guys that got signed should have been behind Alex Shelley on the queue on that. Not entirely sure what it was that stopped him from happening. Maybe WWE wasn't interested. Maybe Alex wasn't interested. It's funny how that worked itself out. But Alex Shelley's one of the most talented performers in the history of the game, in my opinion. Multiple styles. Just a fantastic in-ring worker. Having said that, I'm not really that big on the Time Splitters. I love Kushida. I love Shelley. I've seen their work. What was it they said on the broadcast? What was it? Was it six time? Not six time. It wasn't six times. They were former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. They've competed like I said all around the world together as the Time Splitters. So it was cool. When they announced Kushida was going to be in the tag tournament, and they left that mystery person there, there was a lot of speculation that it would be Shelley. I know that a few of my buddies spoke to me about it. They were like, oh, I think it might be Shelley. I was like, nah, no way. They should have been had Shelley on there. And better late than never, it is Alex Shelley. Was glad to see them in the ring. There were some people that said, well, they have to win now, or they have to be in the finals. Why were you not Time Splitters? Just to have them lose. And I nonchalantly said that the Time Splitters would be the perfect opponent, team to beat, not put over. I don't know if Alex Shelley is signed full-time. I don't know if it was just some deal they got together for the Dusty Classic. And honestly, I knew looking at the brackets, there was going to be a lot of strong babyface wins. We needed a strong strong heel win for this tournament. And I was looking at the brackets. That's probably going to be it. They're probably going to beat the Time Splitters. And everyone thought I was crazy. Well, here we are. And the Grizzled Young Vets had an awesome matchup. And it was the Grizzled Young Vets, the GYVs, that walk away with the WIN. They beat the Time Splitters. First round knockouts is the return of the Time Splitters. But what's beautiful, this is why I thought it would be such a good win for a heel team. this loss means nothing to the Time Splitters. People still are going to want to see them. I hope they remain a team in NXT. That would be great. Be honest with you, Time Splitters Undisputed Era is a dream match for me. I can't wait. I know that it's not a dream match in reality because they've had this match before, especially in Japan. As a matter of fact, they mentioned it, that Undisputed Era defeated Kushida and Shelley for the tag titles in Japan. So it's not exactly a dream match, but I've yet to see it. So for me, I know people are saying, well, oh, just go on the YouTube and you'll find it. I can, but I haven't watched it yet. So thus, dream match for me. So I'm keeping that one there. I think Shelley could do a lot of different things. I'm sure at this stage of his career, they're going to get the best they can out of him. And I think, honestly, he would be an extremely helpful coach for them down the line. I know not everybody can be coaches. I just love the idea of him being rewarded with a long, consistent career and winding up in one of the best companies in the world. I would love that. Love that. And now we move on. You know what? I haven't done this in a while. I don't know why it's just dawning on me now to do this, because I haven't done it in a while. But let's do it. It's been a minute, right? Right? Where is it here? Top? No. I don't even know where the hell this is. I'm keeping all this in, by the way. I'm not editing any of this shit out. Let me see. Let me look through the list here. It might not even be in this folder. Let's go back. It might be in the other folder, right? It could be. Oh, yep, there it is. There it is.
10.
Oh, no. Wow. That sounded sexy. I didn't even know I had that. Did I use that for something? What the fuck is that? Top 10 segment? That must have been one of my goofy ideas that never really panned out. Oh, my God. That was, first of all, that was loud. Very audible. It was in my ear. That hurt. There it is. The one I was looking for was right underneath it. Jesus Christ. This is a long walk for a short drink of water. Anyway, here we go.
And now back to Action News 5. Our top story tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
All right, top news here tonight on episode 125, apparently, is the fact that I have a top 10 segment audio clip. But I didn't put that again.
10.
Okay, I was just gonna say, how sexy was that start? And then it turned into that laugh. When the fuck did I make that? Is there a date on this? February 2019. I've been sitting on this fucking audio bite for almost a fucking year. Oh my God. I have to do something with this. What top 10 segment? What was the idea? I should write this shit down. Anyway, let's finish this up first. I'll worry about this on my own time. I'm not going to waste your time with it, guys. Sorry about that. Anyway, yes, top news story here. Tessa Blanchard. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Tessa Blanchard. Woo. That's ironic that I just wooed, by the way, because I was actually exhaling. My God in heaven, where do we start with Tessa Blanchard? My God. Okay, I know where to start. First of all, let's start with this. Congratulations. I am going to start with that, okay? Because just regardless of how we got here, this happened, right? So the Impact Wrestling Championship, in and of itself, has no fucking lineage. And no fucking history at all whatsoever. Don't let the company fool you into thinking anything less. The Impact Wrestling World Championship is a fairly new championship. Having said that, if they're basing off of their history of TNA, the TNA World Heavyweight Championship is indeed, in my opinion, one of the most prestigious championships in the entire world. Or at least at one point, it was. When it was traveling around the world, being defended, blah, 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 blah. Some of the greats, they listed them all down. The Joes, the Angles, the Styles, the Stings, just down the line. Jeff Jarrett, whatever, right? And now here we are. Tessa Blanchard holds the World's Heavyweight Championship. Now, I'm sure that she has it. We're going to institute the Mysterio rule, and it will no longer be the heavyweight championship. They're probably just going to call her the Impact World Champion. I'm sure that's what they're going to do. They're going to eliminate heavyweight because it's less confusing that way, because this chick is 125 pounds soaking wet. So heavyweight ain't going to be in there at all whatsoever. So one important thing that I have to bring up before we get into this Tessa Blanchard stuff, and of course that is the racism. So in case you guys don't know, I made an episode a while ago. This is a long time ago now. But I'm going to go ahead and bring it up now. And I'm going to sit here. Wait one second. I'm going to pull up exactly what I want to know, exactly what number it was. Right? Taboo. It was something about being taboo. Where is that at? World Sunshine. Angry as fuck. Where are you? It's one of these. Taboo. No, I lost track here. Where the hell is it? Anyway, short version of this is I did an episode a while back where there were three topics that are taboo, that are too much. I have no interest in discussing on this show. Three. Politics, that's why you never hear it. Okay? Religion, that's why you never hear it. And racism, that's why you never hear it. I think I bent the rule for one of them. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been racism already. But I don't discuss those things because there's no real discussion. There's nothing really to talk about. We know that racism is bad. This is a collective thing. White people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian, those are their four basic food groups. But any walk of life will tell you racism is bad. The problem in the discussion is always, well, what's considered racist? And because there's this big-ass gray area as to what is and what isn't, I don't bother with the fucking conversation, to be honest with you. I am of multi-ethnic background. I am of African-American blood. I am of Asian-American blood. I am Chinese. Did I say Chinese? No. What the fuck did I say? African American? Okay. Asian American, Chinese, Italian, and Puerto Rican. Right? American. Whatever. Puerto Ricans are Americans. Not the point. But, you know, I'm a mixed bag. And to be honest with you, I have been claimed by none. Black people don't consider me black. Asians, I'm probably closer to Asians because I look more Asian. So they've been a little bit more accepting. But Italians don't claim me. And Puerto Ricans really don't claim me, to be honest with you. That's my family heritage. I know I've had family from the island. I've had family from China. I've had family from Africa. I've had family from whatever. But I've never really been claimed by any of them. So as far as me commenting on racist shit, there isn't really much for me to comment on because I don't really fucking experience it, to be honest with you. If I'm going to shoot straight for you, there's a lot of people who go on the internet and will claim all day up and down, making it up. Oh, you don't know what kind of shit I go through. I don't think you're aware of what kind of shit you go through, because there's a lot of people that I know for a fact on my page who cry racism over shit. They've never experienced it. It's a card they play. Whenever, like, they just jump on the bandwagon and just be social and get on that hashtag. But there's real racism out there, and there's people out there today who feel it for real, who experience it for real, and I feel bad for them. Not just for experiencing the racism, but because it's hard for people on the opposite side to see that of them, because there's so many other people crying wolf. And it makes people feel uncomfortable and they feel like they're being attacked and the whole deal. So it's hard to have those conversations civilly. So I don't have them. I leave it out of the door. But in this particular case, I'm not going to be discussing too much. But it has to be a part of the conversation because of the timing of the whole thing, which is the next thing that we're going to talk about here. Tessa Blanchard had some incidences in the past. These are well documented. If you're a wrestling fan, You've been around for a while. You've heard all you've needed to hear about Tessa Blanchard and having a not-so-nice attitude backstage. I'm not going to say arrogant or cocky. That's for people who interact with her to decide. But she's got a bit of a reputation of kind of being a hard ass. That's just what it is. That's the scuttlebutt amongst the boys, right? I've never had a chance to work with her. I can't judge her. All I know is that people that I know, people that I trust, people that are in my circle, have worked with her and tell me she's a bit of a B word. That's just the long short of it. She's a little bit of a B word. But, hey, you want to be a top star, you got to be a little bit of a B word. I know a lot of guys that are B words, okay? And by B words, of course, I'm referring to bitch. All right? There are guys who are bitchy too. A little bit of an attitude problem. But where everything started to snowball, so Tessa Blanchard placed out a tweet basically trying to get women to rally around each other. You know, hey, supporting each other, you know, you'd be surprised what can come from supporting one another. And that set off a tirade, an avalanche of genuine, credible female performers on the highest levels who have had a chance to work with her coming out and saying she's the complete opposite. She's being fake. She's being phony. Now, they've called her out on several different things, trashing them, talking behind their backs, actually trying to fuck them out of bookings, blackballing, and then, of course, there was the one card. There was a situation between Tessa Blanchard and a wrestler by the name of La Rosa Negra when they were over at the Stardom promotion in Japan. And there was an incident where, and it depends on who you ask, because the stories are different. There are stories of Rosa and Tessa getting into something, and then Rosa spitting at Tessa, which leads Tessa to spit back. There's another story where Tessa got aggressive with her and spit in her face and called her the N-word. There's a lot of different things going on back and forth, and a lot of stories going back and forth. But the one that everyone latched onto, obviously, the N-word, right? Tessa's white. She's saying, nigga, that can't be good, right? That can't be good for anybody involved. Now, there's, again, more chatter. Well, look, this is my favorite because I've had this conversation before with people. Well, her and Rosa were actually tight and were actually cool with each other, and Rosa allowed her to use that word around her. So it wasn't too out of the ordinary when she said it in heat of the moment. Okay, so about this gave her permission bullshit, right? If you're a white person and you have a black friend who's so close with you, they will allow you to refer to them as a nigga or a nigger. Cherish this friend because that's a rarity. But understand this. This person is not the selected and approved upon representation of African American culture. You understand this. One person giving you permission to use that word with them and only them does not mean that you are free to use this word whenever you'd like. That's not how that's going to work. Now, where she fucked up is if she would have been going through an issue with Rosa backstage, locker room. It's two people, maybe a third. Someone has to hold the camera. They're arguing back and forth. She uses the N-word on Rosa. I'm actually going to go ahead and co-sign that because she gave you permission. So if you're in a room by yourself, two of you are trying to go back and forth, you call her, you know, my nigga, you know, whatever. That's between us. My name is Paul, and that's between y'all, right? But she didn't do that. There are multiple witnesses to her using the N-word, which means she used it out in public, which means you fucked up, Tessa. That's a fucking mistake. Okay? Now, she used that word. She didn't call all black women the N-word. She called that black woman the N-word. So there is some victimhood here with La Rosa. She is an actual victim of this. Okay? But she used the N-word in front of more people than just her. So I'm bringing this up because now we get updated and we find out that Tessa and Rosa have reached out to each other and they've squashed the beef. Beef is squashed. They put word out on the street. It's all over, folks. No need to fret and worry your pretty little head. It's all over. All is forgiven. We moving on. We moving forward. 2020. Whoop, whoop. Right? Therein lies my problem. Because when you are a white person and you use the N-word, you're not insulting Rosa. That's not a direct shot at Rosa. That's not a character shot. That's not a personality shot. That's a black person shot. And when other black people are around to hear it, your problem is bigger than Rosa. If Rosa wants to forgive you for the way that you disparaged her, that is up to Rosa. She is an adult woman. She can make that decision. But that word does not represent Rosa alone. It represents an entire culture of people, and you've pissed them off. That's where the problem is. You want to call Rosa back and squash the beef? That's cool. But you haven't said one fucking word to anyone else about your usage of that word. You haven't made a public statement. You haven't explained your side of the situation. You haven't done none. You are just letting people run with the idea that you are racist because you call this person the N-word in a fit of anger. And while you may have apologized to Rosa, that word does not belong to Rosa. That is a whole culture. You have not apologized to the culture. So on that note, for everybody and anybody that wants to take shots at Tessa and come up with all these memes and say these nasty things, I'm co-signing with you on that. Because until she steps up and realizes that her words hurt more people than just the one. Because if you hurt the one person, that's easy. That's an easy fix. You didn't hurt the one person. You hurt many people, especially those who supported you. Because we're talking in a second, we're going to talk about history being made. Okay? History being made. She's the first women's world's heavyweight champion. Don't give me sexy star because she won a belt that didn't matter with a company that doesn't exist in a room that never traveled the world. If anything, that belt meant something to Los Angeles, California. It didn't mean a fucking thing to the rest of the world. Okay? She's the first real women's world's heavyweight champion. Tessa Blanchard is. And it's being marred by all this. And for people say, oh, we're poor timing. How come they didn't say shit about this when it happened? They did. None of this shit, folks, is new. You just didn't care about it because you're Tessa Blanchard fans. And there's nothing wrong with being a Tessa Blanchard fan. She's a fantastic person inside that ring. We're questioning her personality outside of it. If you can look past the outside, if you can get past the in-ring work and just grade a person based on their actions, she's in trouble. She's absolutely in 100% trouble. And I think it's really, I think the sticking your head in the sand routine and just waiting for it to go away type stuff, that's not going to help your situation literally at all. Literally at all. It's not going to help your situation at all. If you, the faster you would have confronted this and gotten it over with, the faster this would have gone away. And I know you're probably thinking, oh, short-term memory, they're going to forget about it anyway. Maybe so. But there's going to be a lot of people that don't. A lot of people that don't. Okay? And they were, she's not alone in this. At least Hulk Hogan showed some form of attrition. You may not have believed it. You may not have bought it. But he said it. She hasn't said a fucking thing at all to anybody. Even the conversation with Rosa wasn't public. It was very, very private, which is fine. If you want to have a private conversation about your own personal business, that's good. But what you said was public. So until you address the public will judge you accordingly. And that's just the way that's going to go. Now, as far as her winning the world title, to me, like I said, I don't talk racism. I'm not claimed by any group. I'm a wrestling guy through and through. So the most egregious thing that happened with Tessa Blanchard was not the N-word. It was winning the world championship. Now, before I move forward with what I'm about to say about Tessa Blanchard winning the world's heavyweight championship with Impact Wrestling, I am fully aware that next week on the program, I'm going to be sitting face-to-face-to-face with three women. And I'm going to ask them, I'm going to ask them about this situation right here. We're going to talk Tessa Blanchard for just a second. I know it's a Royal Rumble episode, but I got three women sitting there, and I want to know their thoughts and opinions. But before I get to theirs next week, you're going to hear mine this week. My gut reaction to this is a horrible fucking thing. Horrible fucking thing. This is bad. This is bad in the sense of creative and future planning. You're writing yourself into a hole. I don't understand where you go from here is my problem. First of all, Tessa Blanchard just won the World's Heavyweight Championship. She should be above the Knockouts title from now on. It shouldn't even be a fucking issue. Okay? She should never be the Knockouts champion ever again. That shouldn't even be a question. That's a given. Okay? Now, moving on from that, she's the heavyweight champion, which means every other title, tag titles, what the fuck do they even have in Impact right now? That's a secondary belt. I don't even remember. But she should be eligible for all of it. For the rest of her life until the end of time. There shouldn't be anything stopping her. Oh, the X Division title. She's 125. And I know she already competed in a ladder match for the X title, but this could be a normal thing. She didn't even win the X title and build to a world title. She went right to the fucking world title. Excuse me. Oof. I'm getting hit with it. She went right to fucking world title status. Right to world champion. Okay? Everyone's discussing everything all over the line. She should never lose to another woman ever again. She's clearly better than all of them. Who beats her? How do they beat her? How do you take the title? You know, if a larger opponent like a Michael Elgin, if he beats Tessa Blanchard, who did he really beat to win the title? If he loses to Tessa Blanchard, how could he ever be world champion ever again or ever? If he can't beat Tessa Blanchard, all 5'5", 125 pounds of her, how can she do it? Doesn't seem like possible. There's a lot of writing possibilities that go out the window when you do this, okay? I'm not saying that a woman shouldn't be a top champion, because that's bullshit. Some of the best wrestling in the world right now are from women. Some of the wrestlers right now, the best wrestlers in the world right now, are women. They're leading their categories across the board on multiple programs. On the WWE Network, on NXT, AEW. Okay, we'll leave that one to the side. I mean, they're trying. They're improving. Impact. I would say Impact has a better division than AEW, at least more interesting. Mexican luchadoras over in Japan, Stardom, and the Jersey Style is kicking ass. Women around the world are just doing their damn thing, okay? I am not sitting here saying that a woman cannot be a top champion, nor am I saying that they can't be top stars. It's happening all over the world. This is something that's happening, okay? This is the new world we're living in now. Like I said in the Machete, you know, women can do stuff now. You're going to have to learn to live with that. And that's what it is. So for everybody out there with the good old boys club telling the whole world that it's disgusting that a woman is the world champion, that's not even my concern. Because I'm more worried about the fact, where do you go from here is my problem with the whole deal, right? And there was somebody telling me the other day, because this happened over the weekend. They said, well, it's wrestling. You can just script it to happen whatever way you want it to happen. And that's not true, okay? First of all, can I address scripted for a second? Just real quick, if you've never put a match together in your entire life and you're listening to my show, let me allow you a moment, just a little behind-the-scenes tip. We don't script the matches, okay? We'll plan them. We'll go over a few things. Most of it should be called in the ring, as is happening, feeling out the crowd. But we'll plan a few things. We'll talk some things over. But never once have I seen anyone ever in my entire life, in my career of doing this, ever walk into a wrestling company and a booker will hand a sheet of paper to two guys and go, this is what I want you to do tonight. Now, promos may be scripted to a degree. In the WWE format, I understand it's almost 100%. But promos may be scripted. And I know for a fact that there are certain guys, when they're bored or when they're thinking of things and putting things through their head, they'll jot down spots on a piece of paper just so they can remember it. But I've never seen anyone take that book or that piece of paper and hand it to a wrestler and just go, wait, this is what we're doing. The wrestling matches are not scripted. Stop saying scripted. They're not scripted. At best, they're planned, right? We discuss a few things, blah, 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 and we go about them. No one's scripting anything, okay? And even if we did script it, scripts need logic. You know, for everyone shitting on pro wrestling, saying, well, you know, it shouldn't be an issue having a women's champion because it's wrestling. You can script it however you want. If you went to a movie, any fucking movie, where the script was all over the place, made no fucking sense, people are just saying things the same, you're in different cities, different locations, no rhyme or reason, you would look at me or you would look at the other person next to you and say, this is a shitty movie. It doesn't make any logical sense. We just had Star Wars, right? That's the problem that everyone has with the new Star Wars film. It's the same criticism every time. It doesn't make sense. The line of logic doesn't follow. That's what everyone says about these films. Doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense, then it's a bad fucking movie. This show doesn't make any sense. It's all over the place. What's your agenda? If it doesn't make sense, then it's not a good show. If wrestling doesn't make sense, then it's not a good fucking show. Script, plan, whatever. If it doesn't follow a basic line of logic somewhere, it doesn't make sense. You can suspend disbelief. You can bend, but you can't break. There is a specific reason why a woman has never won a world title. Now, we've had teases in the past, and we've even had some men go the other way and win some women's titles according, you know, it's all over the internet. Santino Marella challenged for one. Didn't EY? EY won a tag title, a women's tag title, or whatever the case may be. But there are specific reasons for this, okay? Creatively, forget the sexism of it. I don't give a shit that it's a female. If you gave me a guy who was 5'5", 125 pounds, I would never make him the world champion. Marco Stunt is not going to be a world champion. It's just not going to happen. Because it just doesn't, physically, the appearance is off. It just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't, it doesn't make any physical character, well, not character, she's, her character's kind of a badass, so I get that. But, you know, you don't have anywhere to go with this. Somebody put me to the challenge the other day. He said, how would you get the belt off of her? Would you just have some guy just come in and beat the shit out of her and just rip it from her? No, because she's the first woman to win the World Heavyweight Championship. So because she's the champion now, you kind of have to protect her. You wouldn't job out any other champion like that. You wouldn't take a guy out there and just have him get the shit kicked out of him because he's a smaller guy. Right? Steve Austin's one of the greatest champions of all time. Barely cracks 6'2", 252. That's not a full-on behemoth of a pro wrestler. We've had much larger guys than him, and he didn't get the shit kicked out of him as WWE champion. He didn't get the shit kicked out of him specifically because he was 6'2". So we're not going to do that here, obviously. So you can't have a guy come in and just roughshod and beat her. How does it look if you're competitive with her? Because if you're competitive with her, if you're 6'2", 252, and you're going up against a girl who's 5'5", 125, and you can't put her away, well, how are you supposed to beat Brian Cage? How are you supposed to beat Elgin? How are you supposed to beat a lot of these big guys that you have in the pro wrestling game? How? You can book it. You can just write on the sheet, yeah, he's going to go over, beat him with a schoolboy, some stupid shit, but logically it wouldn't make any fucking sense at all. And that's my only concern about the whole deal. Where do you go? So the challenge was put to me. He said, oh, how would you get the belt off of Tessa Blanchard? And my theory was very simple. I would build up some of the smaller guys guys that aren't really much bigger than Tessa. Sami Callihan's bigger. I would keep that program going to start, and I would start rattling off some defenses for her. Let her defend her championship a few times, get some successful title defenses in, right? And then what I would do is I would give her about a 4 or 5 month run where she would wrestle either X Division guys or Sammy or versions of or whatever, OVE. Just wrestle as many workers as you can. It's going to make you look good. And then I'd do the injury bit. I would have her break a leg or a knee, not for real work, of course, and do the whole sell, and she has to vacate, and we give her some vacation time. She comes back. And after that, now she's the first women champion, a belt she never lost, but unfortunately, a belt she'll probably never win back, because I would just keep, I would plug her in main event. She's a star. She's a former world champion. That whole point of this is to make a star, and you've made one. So I would utilize her as that. It's like, think about it like when Finn Balor won the Universal title, but he only had it for a day, and he got hurt. Now, granted, it was a real injury, and it happened in the match where he won the belt. So he wasn't even a champion for a full day. But let's say, think about it for a second, like you can control that chaos, right? Where you work the injury, we give her some time off, she has to vacate the championship, and now every time after that, just like Finn, she's a former World Heavyweight Champion. She's a former World Heavyweight Champion. We gave her credibility. So now we can plug her in main events, boost ratings. Can she do it again? It's always going to be now the what if. Can she do it again? Was it a fluke? Can she work her way up to another world title reign? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's how I would get the belt off of her. I don't want her beat. I don't want her pinned. I always want it to be something that hangs out there where it's like, you know, it was a tough run, but you know, it was a very physical run, and she was a champion, but she couldn't stay healthy, or whatever the case may be. I don't want her beat. I wouldn't have her lose, because she's the first, and she may be the only, and you want that to be pristine. You want it to be where it was like she wanted to fight. She wanted to keep going. She wanted to do this. She wanted to do that. Like, you want to make her seem like the big hero, right? So it's like she wants to fight. She wants to defend. She wants to set a trend. She wants to kick open the doors and break the glass ceilings for young girls everywhere. But her body is just not willing. Her body's tapping out. Ding, ding, ding. She needs time off. She needs a break. And then she takes her break, which I'm sure she would love because she's been on the road nonstop leading up to this title match. Takes a break, comes back, and she's just always in the mix, but just never gets it done. And she won't be looked at as a failure. Excuse me. She won't be looked at as a failure because she has the one title win under her belt. That's how I would do it. I know you guys have different opinions of that. How would you book it? How would you get the belt off of Tessa Blanchard? Let me know below in the comments. Or you can call me next week on January 24th, 7 p.m. live on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page. Just to clarify my comments here about Tessa Blanchard, I'm trying to make it clear, okay? I'm not that bothered by the fact that she won because she's a woman. I'm bothered by it because she's not a woman of the kind of stature that I think would be pliable for competing against men on a full-time basis. My new favorite wrestler in the world is Rhea Ripley, but she's got height, she's got physicality, she can take a beating, she's got a look, she can do a promo. She looks like she can beat some people up. Belair, Bianca Belair, looks like she can fuck a lot of dudes up. She probably does that as a hobby. She just walks over and fucks people up. But that's the case to me. So that's how I feel about it. I'm not worried about her being a woman and I'm not worried about her being a champion. I'm worried about where we go from here. You know, is Impact using her as a needle to kind of get a grasp and the heartbeat of pro wrestling today and see how they feel about this? I'll tell you this, it'll never happen in the WWE. Never happen. If not so long as Vince has a pulse in his body, will there ever be a woman WWE champion or Universal champion for that matter? We had one woman the Intercontinental champion, and it took a behemoth of a woman to do it. We've had a few women in the Royal Rumble, which we'll talk about next week. I am developing a cough. So that's all next week. Those are my thoughts on the whole deal. I'm curious to see where you guys feel about this and where do you think it goes. How do you book Tessa moving forward? Who does she compete against? Who does she beat? Who does she lose to? It's so all over the place. I'm going to wait and see how this plays out, and I'm gonna bring it back up. I'm going to bring it back up. We will adjust, and we will try to see how they work this. I can't wait to hear her promo and championship promo and what they're going to do next. I can't wait. I want to see where it goes. All right, so thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for downloading. Thank you guys for enjoying. Oh, no. I'm going to change that tagline because I keep fucking that up. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for sharing. Thank you guys for downloading. And, of course, thank you guys for enjoying episode 124.
100 episodes now, pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.